When I am down in the country where I grew up, I travel once in a while just down the road about 3.5 miles from where my mom lives now to the place where we lived when my sisters and I were growing up. The house and the barns are gone, and many things have been cleared out, and other things have grown up. And when I look at that place, I am reminded of my childhood and what things looked like. Of course, they are much smaller than in my imagination, but it was home for me for over 18 years of my life. And when we lived there, it was very cold in the winter and it was hot in the summer. There was no central heat or air. I don't even know that it was invented. If it was, it weren't around me. A heater in one room in the wintertime and a fan in the window in the summertime. Cold linoleum floors. Have you ever felt of anything any colder on a winter morning? They were worn through in many places and felt like ice under your feet on cold winter mornings as you hit them quickly and went to what we called the heater room. It had a heater in it. It was the living room, the den, whatever. It was the only room that had one in it, so that's where you stayed. A place for a family of five to live and grow and work and love. The house and surrounding barns were far from beautiful or impressive, but I missed the good times that we had there. Wouldn't we all like to return to the home of our youth that we have in our mind, where we could play in trees and sheds and barns and fields that seemed so large, hang out with parents who were young and filled with answers to our inquisitive questions and minds, playing with neighbors and friends and talk and dream. But instead, many of our parents are gone, and those that are left spend much of their days remembering their youth and friends that are gone and the spouses that are no longer here. It's true that, as the saying goes, you can't go home again. As much as we long for the glory road that we traveled, we find that the curves in the road are the same, but everything along the path is quite different. You see, our story from today's scripture lesson that we find in the book of the prophet Isaiah is about God speaking to a people who once had a way of life that is now lost. And like me, they really want to live that way again from time to time. Life had been good, or so it seemed, right up to the time that the Babylonians came to town and killed their family and friends, carried off the youngest and the best into a foreign land, occupied their homes and ate from their gardens and their bounty. You see, the people of Judah lost the world that they had known and loved for so long to a group who did not care. It would be generations before the land would be returned to them. With the passage of time, they finally returned to their homeland. And in this story today, they are a few generations away from their release from captivity. They're still being held captive. It is 50 years since returning to their beloved Jerusalem, and things have not been restored to the beauty and the glory that they keep in their minds and their hearts. Campfire stories are about the good old days of glory, and the children can almost see the grandeur through the enthusiastic voices of their family members. Efforts to rebuild the temple in the way that Solomon had guided the original construction never came to pass. It never materialized. Looking at the rebuilding, they see a rather ragged structure with decorations that lack the flair of the old. And after all that work, it is still not what it used to be. I can only imagine that their hearts and spirits resemble the rubble they are viewing. And worse yet, they are living where the Babylonians had left their mark. Their lives were invaded. Their beloved scenes had changed, and despondency has set into their hearts and their minds. In many ways, today, the Christian church is like the Jews who dream of the past. So many people remember the glory of the 1950s and the 60s. Well, I say they were pretty good. I was born in the 60s. It was a good time. But we We seem to dwell there so many times. When the mainline churches of our world were full and active, and the people gathered each Sunday for Sunday school and worship and a picnic on the grounds, we forgot that ants were out there and things like that. We always remember the good things. We think about the Norman Rockwell painting in our mind. But you see, like the Jews, we are struggling to let go of that and move forward. You see, I believe that mainline churches are beginning to listen to the promises of God from today's scripture passage. Many of us are turning the tide from the past and looking forward to a reforming Christianity. Reforming Christianity. The term postmodern has become a staple of discussions around our world. We speculate about it, the forms that it should take, what the new message will be, and the expanse of mission work the church should hold close. You see, this is not a new dream for Christianity. Oh no. It parallels with John Wesley's time are remarkable. You can look back at the works of John Wesley, a man who's been dead a long time. All of his pamphlets, all of his books, the articles, the sermons, and people have put them together. John Wesley believed that God had raised the people called Methodist to reform the nation, particularly the church, to reform it and to spread spiritual holiness around the land. He said, I believe Wesleyans should welcome the reforming church. That was his word. I believe that Wesleyans should welcome the reforming church, or in today's lingo, the emerging church. You see, the reforming leaders are attuned to today's cultural and moral and theological perspectives. I believe that all Christians, regardless of denomination affiliation, should support this emerging church movement. I think it's something good. I think that new leaders like you and me, the church, are aware of the need to be reforming and not dwelling on the past, just as John Wesley did in his time. You see, when God promises a new temple better than the original, and a new heaven and a new earth, the expectation is that Christians will think less of the past and more of the future. We're supposed to be thinking of moving on, moving forward, moving to something, and taking care of, letting go of. We should all be focusing on the church's purposes and values, its vision of discipleship, and its mission. You see, we can learn much from Isaiah about this new heaven and new earth and reforming life. We can look forward to God's promises. What I read earlier in verses 17 and 18, it says, "For I am about to create a new heavens and new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I'm creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight." Are we delightful in what we do? Are we joyful in the things we are about? Wow, are we joyful? Are we delightful? Are we always joyful in the things we do? Sometimes we do things that hurt other people, and it's not always a lot of fun to see it or hear it. Sometimes we see people do things in the name of Christianity that's not got a lick of Christianity about it. We get upset and we say things that we shouldn't. Sometimes we just don't care, truly, about other people. And when that happens, we just need to find our check system somewhere in our system and fix it. We need to stop and look back at what we've just said. Have you ever heard yourself? Have you ever looked at yourself when you've done something you shouldn't do, when you've said something you shouldn't say, when you've acted in a way you shouldn't act. Let us learn to forget what was good before, but is not now, and look forward to a new life in a new Christian experience. What does it look like? It shouldn't look any different than looking at Jesus Christ and the lives of those around us. When you can put that on and when people can see it in you, when good things are happening. And don't get me wrong, there's good things happening in the midst of all the bad. There's good things happening all the time. You see people out doing good. But sometimes in the midst of it all, when you see things doing so wonderful, there's always one that's always got something to say or is going to do something kind of silly. And you just want to say, please be quiet. Or just hush. But sometimes they don't. And we have to be the one who's a little bigger, a little smarter, and move on. We need to ask God to help us in what to say and what to do. You see, you and I need to put away the old, and we need to look to new ways of serving Him in our world. And what does that look like? What does that look like for our church? What does that look like for you as an individual, as a Christian? But what does it look like as a body of believers? What can we do to do something different? What can we do to serve others? How can we help? We do wonderful things for so many. But are we truly serving ourselves or are we serving others? I want you to start thinking about what you can do. I've been thinking a lot about it. And I've been talking to a few people, and we're going to soon be having some conversations as a church about what we can do. What that might look like in 2014 and 2015. Did you ever think you'd be saying those numbers out loud one day? In 19-something other, did you ever think you'd be saying 2014 and 2015? I never thought about it because it sounds so odd, sounds so different. But that's the way our world is. It stays the same, but yet it is different. It's the same story we have to tell others about loving the Lord and Jesus, knowing them, but we have to tell it in a new and different way. The story's not changed. It's how we present it. It's how people receive it, and it's what we do with it along the way. So a new heaven and a new earth and a new life. What's it going to look like for you and me? Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the new life that we find in you. But Lord, in that new life, how do we serve you? How do we give back? How do we move forward from this place? How do we share that story that is the old, old story? It's an amazing story that comes from knowing you and loving you and experiencing you and giving our lives to you. And it is an old, old story. It's from the age, from the beginning of time. And that's the old we need to hang on to, is that old story. But how do we tell it in new ways? And how do we live it each and every day? It seems like it gets harder to live it as our world changes. But as children, we have to do that. We have to know what it's like to live into each and every day of serving you and loving you and knowing you. So, Lord, continue to open up our hearts and our minds to show us, Lord, what it is you would have us do and how you would have us do it. Allow us to be the emerging church. Allow us the one that it goes forth so that others can follow. Be with us now, for it is in your name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of